We know in the Bible that God wants to bless us, and he wants us to receive, experience, and be aware of those blessings. Which brings me to a couple of questions for you. How blessed do you feel right now?
Welcome to Time of Grace with Pastor Mike Novotny. In a moment, we'll dive into today's message. What do you do when life hurts? It's a question everyone needs to be prepared to answer because everyone, at some point, gets hurt. Time of Grace wants to equip you with biblical truth to answer that question by sending you Amber Albee Swenson's book, You Can Trust God When Life Hurts. This book comes as our thanks for your gift to encourage more people through Time of Grace. And thanks to a $100,000 challenge grant, your gift today will go twice as far to help more people meet the God who loves them. So request your copy when you call and give. 800-661-3311. Or just visit timeofgrace.org. Later in today's program, you'll hear more about what this resource offers. But right now, let's get back to today's message with Pastor Mike Novotny.
The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." Man, I love this blessing. I'm curious, where are my church note takers at? Is there anyone who doesn't just fill in the blanks, but you're always like writing stuff during sermons? Can I see your hands? Yeah, that's me. This is the part that you're going to love. If you don't like taking notes, you're probably going to be bored. You can zone out for a little bit because this is the part where I break down the beauty of Hebrew poetry. You look excited. Now, there's so many beautiful things about the blessing that we're going to talk about in the weeks to come. God blessing, keeping, face shining, giving us peace. But if you would have been a Jewish person who understood the Hebrew language, the intentionality and the poetry of this blessing would have blown your mind. Here's what I learned. There's three lines to this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the original Hebrew language, the first line has three words. The second line has five words. And the last line has seven words. It's almost like God wanted his people to say, "Wow, I'm blessed. Whoa, I'm really blessed. Woo! I'm crazy blessed." He wanted to increase their number, right? Expand their blessing. And built into the middle of the blessing, you probably caught it, was the name of the Lord spoken three times. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, three times in one blessing, which makes some Christians think about the Trinity. Maybe a little hint that there's three persons in one God. God the Father is the one who blesses us. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is the one who's gracious to us. God the Holy Spirit is the Lord who produces the fruit of peace within us. And if all that weren't interesting enough, then there's my favorite part, the shift from the plural to the singular. Now, this blessing was meant to be spoken to a whole bunch of people. It says, you are to bless the Israelites, plural, and say to them, plural. But then when you get to the actual blessing, the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, turn towards you, and give you peace. Six times in Hebrew, it's the singular form. If you've ever learned Spanish before, you might know there's a difference between you singular and you plural. Here where I live, we don't talk about that much in English, but if you go down to Texas, you'll note that in English too, you, y'all, all y'all. It's the same in Hebrew. There's a distinctive word for you all and just you. And here's what happens in this blessing. God says, Aaron, I want you to speak to all these people, thousands and thousands of Israelites that I love. But when you speak the blessing, make it personal. It's like God, speaking through the one who's giving the blessing, wants to look like right at you, like it's just you and God. He's not just some generic, yeah, God, do good things for people. He's like, no, God wants to bless you. And he wants to keep you. And he's not just happy with like his people in general. Through Jesus, he's gracious to you. If our church services weren't already so long, I would just love to look each of you in the eye and speak the whole thing next. So you know what this blessing was originally intended to do. Not just end the church service, not to be the time when we grab our jackets and pack up our things. But God, who loves the whole world, wants to speak specifically to each one of his children. It's like a good mom tucking her kids in at night, looking them in the eye, expressing love, making them feel safe. That's what this blessing is. Say to them, all of them, that God wants to bless you. I mean, come on, how good is Hebrew grammar? You didn't know that before, did you? I don't think about that every time I hear the blessing, every time I speak it. God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only son, that whoever individually believes in him would have that blessing. So can you pick a new number? Knowing that God, he's not just some big father of some big family who's too busy, but he's an eternal God who has all the time in all of history to look you in the eye and express his love. If you think about that, and if your pen still isn't moving, it's a good thing I got one more try. All right, so far we've talked about all the blessings in the Bible. Lots of them physical. Let's count them. Every spiritual blessing ours in Jesus. We've focused on this famous blessing from the days of Aaron and Moses, where God wants to expand our mind, to put his name upon us, to speak to us heart to heart. But now we get to my favorite part, the blessing itself. Here in part 3, I just want to read one line to you. Verse 24 of number 6 says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." We've kind of talked about the first half of that. The Lord bless you. The Lord do something good for you personally. So I want to take the rest of my time and just focus on those last words, "and keep you." In full disclosure, I've always gravitated to the part of the blessing where I think about God's face shining on me. Like, he's not disappointed. He's not mad despite my sin. He's forgiven me. I never really thought much about this part of verse 24. "The Lord keep me." What does that mean? A little preschooler was coloring in church, and he asked in that really loud preschool voice, his mom or his dad, "What does that mean?" What would you say to him? "Lord, keep you." What's the blessing in that? Well, here's the best way that I could teach it to you. Imagine there's a big door here. Can you see it? Door handle. And you're all nice and safe and warm and cozy inside the house, and I'm standing outside of it on the other side of the door. Why do we have doors? Why not just live in an apartment or a duplex or a house with just walls and a roof? I think the simple answer is because doors keep us. Doors keep the dangerous things that are out here, the animals, the strangers, the wind, the rain, the snow. It keeps that stuff out here. And if you've ever raised a little kid, it keeps the ones you love in here. When the blessing says that God keeps you, I think what it's saying is God is like the door who keeps the people he loves safe here in his house, in his presence, and he keeps all the dangerous threats to our soul out there. He doesn't let them in. To keep you means that you still have faith, you're still a child of God, you haven't given up your soul to sin. He's not just saved you, he's kept you saved by keeping those dangers out there and by keeping you safe in here. Write this down, and then I'll try to explain what I mean. I think at the start of this famous blessing, we're learning that one of God's best blessings is your keeping. Like, the thing that God wants you to think about from the very start is the fact that despite all the danger out there to your soul, it hasn't gotten to you. You're still part of God's family. You're still someone who trusts in his son, Jesus. I mean, think about that. If the Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, if there was no door to your spiritual life and he just came roaring in, the world with literally billions of people who don't believe that Jesus is worth it, who are living lives of disobedience to God because at the end of the day, they just don't think Jesus is good enough to sacrifice for. If that whole world came flooding in and surrounded you with its message, what would happen to your faith?
This is Time of Grace. We'll be back in a moment with more of today's message. In the midst of life's storms, it's so comforting to know God is there, ready and willing to carry you to the other side of your pain. That's the kind of loving Heavenly Father you have. And we want to help you trust His love and goodness, no matter what you're facing. That's why we're excited to send you Amber Albee Swenson's book, You Can Trust God When Life Hurts. In it, you'll discover how to find faith when things don't make sense. Adopt a hope-filled perspective in hard times. Receive grace for when you fail. And so much more. You Can Trust God When Life Hurts is our way of thanking you for your financial support to keep Time of Grace going strong. When you give today, your gift will go twice as far to reach more people with God's grace and truth, thanks to a $100,000 challenge grant. So thanks for giving. And be sure to request You Can Trust God When Life Hurts when you call. 800-661-3311. 800-661-3311. Or visit timeofgrace.org.
Who are living lives of disobedience to God because at the end of the day, they just don't think Jesus is good enough to sacrifice for. If that whole world came flooding in and surrounded you with its message, what would happen to your faith? And so the fact that if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and despite the devil, and despite the demons, and despite the deception, despite the world, you're still a person who loves the Bible, believes in the goodness of God, and is willing to follow Jesus no matter what it costs you, how did that happen? And the answer is, because God kept you. He didn't just rescue you from this broken world and put you in a spiritual house with no doors. Instead, He brought you inside of the family of faith, and then in His love, He protected you from all the dangers that exist in every direction. Make it specific. Like, we live in a world where so many people, how many people think that human beings are an accident? There's some big bang, something happened, we evolved through all these however many years, and like, hey, that's how you got here. If you don't believe that, if you say, no, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that God is a father who knit me together in my mother's womb. I believe that my life is not an accident. I'm not just here because my people survived as the strongest. I'm here because there is a God who is a good father that made me and loved me. If you believe that in a world where so many people don't, it's because God kept you. He kept that idea from getting into your soul and persuading you otherwise. What a gift to know you're not an accident, but a dearly loved child of God. Or think about that idea in the world, how many billions of people believe it, that to know that you're good with God, you have to do enough good things. Call it karma, call it morality, call it climbing the ladder, balancing the scales. Good people get to heaven, bad people are in trouble. You better be good, for goodness sake. If you don't believe that, if you actually, like me, think, despite all the bad things I've done, I'm good with God because of Jesus, period. Like, He died for me. He took all my sin away. Because of Jesus, I'm good with the Father. Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. If you believe that, that it's just Jesus, just grace, through pure faith, and not because you've been such a good person, why do you, out of all people, believe that? Because God, in His mercy, He kept you. If you're a teenager growing up in a world where you're supposed to follow your heart and be true to yourself and not let anyone judge you, but you see through all that, you know, number one, it's not logical. You don't ask that of other people. But instead, you think, no, I'm not supposed to be myself. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. I'm not going to follow my heart. My heart gets me in all kinds of trouble. My mind goes to all kinds of places. I'm going to follow the God who loved me so much. He forgave me for all of my sins. If you're a teenager, where so many teenagers have bailed on that, why is it? Because God kept you. You heard the teaching. You have a friend who believes it, but you don't. If you've stayed strong in your faith and haven't wavered in what you believe, it's because God is so good. He did not just save you, but He kept you saved. Think of it this way. When you're raising a little kid, you know that like plastic thing you put over the door handle? It's tough for adults to figure out sometimes, right? Why? Because the kids are prone to wander, and they want to explore, and they're really curious, and sometimes because of that, they'll wander into really dangerous places. So we put these little door handles on. I think that's what our Heavenly Father does to us spiritually. And our hearts might be prone to other things. We're curious about other ideas, other philosophy. Ooh, it looks fun out there doing the things that Jesus doesn't love, and God somehow in his mercy doesn't let the door open. It keeps us safe and connected. In a world where people are doing their own spiritual thing, you're watching this message at home, or you invested time in your faith. If you're a person, you have a Bible at home and it's not covered in dust, it's because God has kept you. Now, just the beauty of that struck me so good the other day. I've been alive for about 15,000 days. My mom raised me from my earliest years to be a follower of Jesus. She taught me the gospel, brought me to church. And throughout my 15,000 days, there is rarely a blessing that I have had the entire time. I'm from a two-income family. I'm like American rich. But when I was in college and I'm eating packs of ramen for like 10 for a dollar, I haven't always been like American wealthy. But I've always been a Christian. I've been kept. It took me 19 years to find my first girlfriend. I did not like the first 18. I haven't had that blessing of someone who knows me and loves me like I have the past 20 years with Kim, but there's a blessing I had even before her. I was kept in the Christian family. I haven't always been healthy. Struggled with headaches and brain issues in high school, collapsed a lung when I was in college, almost lost two fingers in a freak hockey accident. I haven't always felt good, but I've always been good with God. 15,000 straight days, God bless me, bless me, bless me, because he kept me, kept me, kept me. How about you? When you woke up this morning, you could have said, "Oh, my back," or, "Oh, what's the weather today?" Or, "Did you see this news?" Or you could have woken up and said, "Still a Christian." Yes. I still believe there's a God. I still believe that he's my father. I still believe that he knows me. I still believe. Oh, how good is he? If he never gave me another dollar or another cent, if he never did another good thing for me, he is here. I'm still a Christian. I live in a broken world. The devil is alive and he is very well. And yet God, in his insane mercy, he didn't just bless me, he kept me. Or maybe I should say this, he blessed me by keeping me. And when I think about that, I could have walked away. I probably should have walked away. If my heart would have gotten the last word, I might have. But God made the handle spin. And he kept me safe in his house, close to his heart. So, I'll give you one last try. What's your number? Did you think about everything the Bible has to say about blessings? All the physical things you have, the spiritual gifts that are yours in Christ, the God who speaks specifically to you, and especially he speaks you this blessing of kept you close to Jesus. Man, I don't know about you. It makes me love him even more than I used to. Yeah, back in the late 1970s, in a valley just southwest of Jerusalem, archaeologists discovered what some people believe is the most important discovery in all of biblical studies. They found this old burial cave, and inside were a bunch of ancient pottery, a bunch of human bones, and I'll show you a picture. They found two of these. A tiny, tiny silver scroll. I've seen this with my own eyes in Jerusalem, only about an inch wide. One of them was an inch tall, the other one about 4 inches tall. They think that this little scroll was worn as a necklace and hung over someone's heart. And engraved on it in ancient text is the oldest surviving Bible passage currently in existence. They track the oldest copies of the Bible written on a pot or on parchment. This is it. Dates back to 600 BC. And does anyone want to guess what it says? "The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, look on you with favor, and may that give you, and you, and you, peace. Let's pray. Ah, God, that does give us peace. To think that you're God, and you're not just a busy, overwhelmed dad running the universe. You are a Father in heaven who speaks individually to each of our hearts. God, it's hard to be ungrateful when we really think. If it was just the physical things, there's plenty to keep us grateful. Even non-believers know that. But for those of us who know your Son, who have been saved and then blessed by being kept, oh man, how can we complain, God? You have been so good to us. We're so grateful that because of Jesus, your face is shining upon us, that hasn't changed. It's really what gives us peace at the end of the day. And so God, open our eyes to see the height and the width and the depth of your love, that our number would increase in leaps and bounds, and we would say, out of all the people on earth, we who follow Jesus are so, so blessed. Father, for anyone here today who doesn't, help them to know that this blessing is for them too. That by coming to Jesus, repenting of their sins and believing in his name, everything I just said can be theirs this very moment, because your blessings come not by our good works, but by the good work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We live in a complicated world, Lord. There's many people, even within the church, who have lost their peace, and we want to turn our attention to this blessing that reminds us that we don't have to lose it. There are so many good things right now that are ours because you are a God who has put your name upon us, goes before us and beside us and behind us. Your Spirit is within us. Father, this is what gives us peace. So we will not ask you just to bless us today because we already are. Instead, open our eyes to the blessings we already have. We pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen.
Before we wrap up our time together today, let's go one-on-one with Pastor Mike with another tough question from listeners.
If a person never heard about Jesus and therefore doesn't believe in him, do they go to hell? I think Jesus' answer is yes. Yes. Just logically think about this. If never hearing the gospel would give you a free ticket to heaven, why would we ever share the gospel? Jesus said, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16:16, I believe. Why would he even say that if everyone in that continent or country or in that jungle, why would we do the hard work of mission work? And why would we go at all to make disciples if just not telling anyone would end up in the same spot as telling people and saving some of them? Right, logically, it does not make much sense. This tends to bother people a lot, and I think here's why. Because in modern America, we think that unless someone is like Hitler or a child abuser, they really should go to heaven. Right, those poor people, they've never done anything wrong, right? They haven't heard the gospel yet. From God's holy perspective, all have sinned. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. What everyone deserves from God is not to be in his presence. Because even people who haven't heard the gospel have done things against their own conscience that they know is wicked. Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2 talks about this a lot. So if this question really bothers you, start there. And here's what I'd say. If my answer super duper bothers you, then go talk about Jesus. All right, I have all the patience in the world for an honest question. But if you haven't shared the gospel with anyone this week, you really don't care about people's eternity that much. Right. So, share the gospel. I heard some math once that if I was the only person of the 7 billion people on earth that knew about Jesus, and on day one, I told the two of you, and then on day two, the three of us each told two people. Do you know just two people a day, how long it would take to tell all 7 billion human beings on the planet? I think it's 22 days. Days. Not centuries. Days, two people a day, and 7 billion could hear about Jesus. So the problem is not God. The problem is we've maybe lost our passion for eternal things. So Jesus said, go, make disciples, be wise, love people, give to the poor, let your light shine, Heaven and hell is on the line, and people need to hear the good news that saves them.
Before you go, I want to remind you about this month's powerful resource to help you or someone you know experience God's loving care through life's toughest moments. It's Amber Albee Swenson's book, You Can Trust God When Life Hurts, which comes as thanks for your gift of support today that has twice the impact, thanks to a $100,000 challenge grant. So request your copy when you give today. And be sure to visit timeofgrace.org to find books, videos, podcasts, daily devotions, and so much more from Pastor Mike and others. Explore for yourself at timeofgrace.org. Thank you for listening to today's Time of Grace with Mike Novotny.